Worship, the core value of seeking to know God. Now, I'm really looking forward to this sermon because I'm not really sure what I'm going to say. I got a whole bunch of stuff running through me, and I want to begin by looking at the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible. That's Genesis 22, and we'll go there in verse number 5. And then we're going to look at the quintessential verse in John 4 about worship. Now, you know the Old Testament is written in what language? Hebrew, mostly, all right? Mostly Hebrew. Little Aramaic thrown in, but mostly Hebrew. And then the New Testament is written in the Greek language, little Aramaic thrown in the Greek in the New Testament. But mostly Hebrew, mostly Greek. There's a Hebrew word, we're going to see it in Genesis for worship, and then there's a Greek word for worship, and we're going to see it. So Old Testament, New Testament, and worship, and looking at this word. We call this the worship center. It's a bad name. And we call this the worship service. And we've probably done ourselves a disservice by naming this event a worship service. Because it tells us that when we come into this place and house of worship, that we have worship, and half the time we don't worship. And when we walk out of here, we think, well, the only way we can worship is go back in there. And that's so foreign to what the Word of God says. I'm grateful for this building. Grateful for the service that we put together, because you find that in Scripture when they came together, both Old Testament and New. But there's something about worship that is very personal to you. And if you don't worship over there, you're probably going to do very little of it when you come in here. If you don't do it individually, you're probably not going to be good at it collectively. And if you don't like it down here, God pity your soul when you get to the other side. I'll hear this choir, and hey boy, that was good this morning, wasn't it? We sing hallelujah. That's one of those words that's used, one of the second most used word for worship in the Old Testament is hallel. We get our word hallelujah out of that. Boy, they singing hallelujah. And I'll hear that choir, and I think, man, it can't get any better than that. But oh yeah, it will. Where Rich Telfer is today, it's better than that. Amen. Yeah. Well, we're going on the other side. Bless God, it's better than that. This is just the warm-up place. It's just the makeup room for the real deal. See, it's going to get so much better. We're just practicing down here for what we're going to do at the throne room up there. Worship. Well, the first time we find it, it's in Genesis 22. And it's in verse number 5. Now, here's the context. You know the deal where Abraham has been called, and he responded, and the Lord said, where are you? And he said, here I am. And he said, I want you to go to the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice Isaac. So Genesis 22, verse 5. Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad, that's Isaac, will go over there, and we will shakah, in the Hebrew, shakah. We will worship and return to you. So Abraham is on this journey, and God's told him to take Isaac up and sacrifice his son. And so he loads up the donkeys, and he's got everything, and Isaac's carrying the wood, and they get to a certain place, and he tells the entourage, you stay here, and the lad and I will go over there and worship. Shakah. So when they get over there, you expect they're going to have a prelude, and somebody's going to pray, and then they're going to take an offering and sing some songs, and then they'll teach the Bible, and then give an invitation. Didn't none of that happen. But they had worship. The word shakah in the Hebrew tongue means to lay yourself on your face before God. That's what that word means. Abraham said, the lad and I are going to go over there and we're going to get before God. Right here. We're going to get before God. Now, if you've ever had a cancer diagnosis to one of your children, you did that probably. If you've ever had a crisis that is so far over your head you don't know what to do, you probably did that right there. And wet the carpet when you cried. I want you to understand, you have not worshiped till you get on your face before God. That's what worship is. That's why at the end of this service we have this altar. That's why at the beginning we have a prayer time often. That's why this morning as the sun rose up over the pines, I don't do this every week, rarely, but I did this morning because, wasn't it so pretty today? Well, isn't that good? Just the humidity out, and it was a gorgeous morning. And so I took my Baptist beverage and went out there on that little dock by my little pond, and I just got on my face. Wasn't nobody looking. And I just got on my face to say, Lord, I want to begin the day like I'm going to try to teach our people. And so I cried out to the fish and the turtles. And I asked God to come in this room today. And I asked him to come and lay us low. I asked God to use my tongue of clay to convict you, to get on your face before holy God and cry out unto him. The lad and I, we're going yonder to worship. And when we're done, we'll return. Now, there's all kind of teaching in this. Abraham believed if he killed his son, God raised him from the dead, because he said, we're not just both going, we're both coming back. Plural, he said, we're coming back. Of course, you know the story how God stayed his hand and there was a ram caught in the bushes. And he said, here's the sign. And they sacrificed unto the Lord. You reckon Abraham got on his face before he thought he's going to have to give up his son? Friend, it wasn't just a son. It was the son. It was the key to his promise that God had given that through him is going to come Jews like the sand of the sea and like the stars of the sky. And Abraham got shaka. He got on his face. Now let's look at the New Testament word. It's in John 4. Let's go right there. In John 4, Jesus is come upon this woman and talking to her. Now, that's something that a man's talking to a woman in that culture. And he wants some water from the well. And she said, well, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get any water? He begins to talk to her. Said, go call your husband. And she didn't have a husband. Jesus said, well, that's right, because you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Mm-hmm. Boy, there's a lot of teaching there. And she said, I perceive, sir, that you're a prophet. Duh. Yeah. I've been married five times and I'm shacking up with an old boy right now, and he called my number and he never met me. I'd say this guy's a prophet. She said, our fathers worshiped here. Your people, the Jews, over there in Jerusalem. Jesus said, You can believe me, there's an hour coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem you're going to worship the Father. Then verse 22, the Bible says, you worship what you do not know, we worship. There's that word twice. We worship. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know. The salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers, there it is the third time, will worship a fourth time the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers fifth time. God is spirit, and those who worship him sixth time will worship him seventh time in spirit and truth. Seven times he uses this word, proskuno, 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 proskuno. You got a proskuno in spirit. And what does this word mean? It's two words, pros and kuno, that are put together. One means toward. The other one means to kiss toward, to give worth to God. So when you put these two words together, you get on your face in submission and you kiss toward God because he's the only one that is worthy of your adoration. There's no other God like him. No one demands, requires, or is worthy of your adoration save the Christ. And you should kiss toward him. Kiss. Let me say two things today. I've at least got 2 points to this sermon. It may not have a point. Some sermons are pointless. But two things I want you to see. Number one, worship begins with who you are individually. It begins with you individually, okay? It begins with who you are individually. We seek to know God, and it all starts with you. Now, number one, it starts redemptively. Now, listen to me right here. If you are in this room and you don't know that if you were to die, you're going to heaven, you can't worship. You can only worship if you've come in redemption. And the first way that you ever worship is that you come unto God and trust him. I was in Laurel, Mississippi, birthplace of one John Tanner, on Tuesday night preaching. I preached to a Bible conference. I gave the invitation, and the chairman of deacons got saved. Now, I'm just here to tell you, when a deacon gets saved, it helps him. Amen. A saved deacon is much better than a lost deacon. I'm just telling you in Jesus' name, that's the truth. That old boy had been struggling, he said, all night long he came. And then two college-age girls came and got saved that night in a Bible conference. The first thing you do if you're going to worship is you give your life unto Christ. It begins redemptively. Worship begins with you as an individual. And then after it begins in your redemption, it continues in your worship. Look at Romans 12 and verse number 1, where the Bible tells us that we are to give our lives unto him. He urges us by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, which is to God your spiritual service of what? Proskuno, of kissing toward him. You give your life. You get saved, and then you're just giving your life to him. Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17 tells us, for you do not delight in sacrifice. God doesn't, other we would give it. You're not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken, a contrite heart, oh God. You will not despise it. You see, what God's looking for is your heart to be despised. Now, some people say, well, where does worship begin? Some people say, it begins with submission. No. The only thing required for worship is God. You're not even required. You say, well, preach, somebody's got, no, hear me. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. He can make you worship if he so desires. As a matter of fact, when you get to the other side, if you've not bent your knee, you will bend it. If you die in this world lost, cursing God, when you get to the other side, he says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. God is all that required. You say, well, he's got to have work. Jesus said, if these people don't cry out, I can cause the rocks to cry out. God doesn't need us. He just, worship, all it demands is God. He'll cause everybody to worship him one day. The rocks can cry out. Isaiah 55 says that the trees will clap their hands. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. He desires. The only way we come is with a broken and a contrite heart. Shaka on our face. Kissing and giving adoration unto holy. It all begins with you. Now here's my question. Are you in a proper state of submission before God right now? Now listen to me. You can come up here and lie down on your face or get out in this aisle. You can lie down and not be in submission. You can be a Pharisee. You can have an outward show without an inward bent. You see, it's a broken and a contrite spirit. You've got to bring your spirit and be broken. You may never get on your face physically. He's not calling us to physically. That's the illustration of our being bent toward God. And see, if you see submission as a weakness, you will resist God and you will assert your flesh. And that's what Baptist churches are full of. They are filled with people who see submission as weakness, and therefore they resist God and they assert the flesh. What's happening in a little church up in Alabama where a dear friend of mine is a pastor. They fired him this week. Wouldn't even talk to him. He didn't have any orthodox problems. He didn't have any moral problems. They just said they had a relational issue. Well, now, bless God, if somebody repent of a relational issue, you can get right with God and get that settled. But they just kicked him out. Set him aside. The flesh took over in that church. And they asserted themselves and resisted being in submission to the mind of God. Even Jesus in Philippians. You know the passage in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, that Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. It says he submitted himself, left heaven, came here in submission. It all begins with you. Are you in submission to God? That's the question. It's not whether you ever got on your face. Dr. Rogers up in Bellevue years ago used to tell us when he got saved, he was a high school All-American tailback down in Central Florida. And he said the night he got saved, he went to the football stadium where he played because that was his life. And he said he went out to the 50-yard line. The lights weren't on. Nothing was there. He said, I went out to the 50-yard line, snuck in the stadium, and he said, I got on my face before God. And he said, then I dug a little hole in the dirt. And he said, I stuck my nose down in that dirt. He said, I was as low as I could get. And I said, God, I give you my life. And he said, God radically changed me. But he said, I first had to come in submission. And he said, my way of submission was to get on my face on the 50-yard line. Hear me again. You can get on your face physically and have never gotten broken spiritually. But if you get broken spiritually, you will not be ashamed when God calls you to get on your face physically. To fall on your face. Number one, worship begins with who you are individually. But now secondly, worship grows as you unite with others. That's where we are today. We're a bunch of individuals, and now we're all gathered up here in a worship service. So we're all individually broken before, but then we come to worship together. Listen to the Word of God. Psalm 34, and verse number 3. Listen to the Word of God. Psalm 34, and verse number 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name. Say it. And exalt His name together. One more time, exalt his name. That means in the Hebrew, together. That means all of us together. Then listen to Psalm 107, verse 32. Psalm 107, let us extol him also in the what? Congregation of the people. That's all of us together. And praise him at the seat of the elders. That's when you come together and you got leaders in the congregation. We come together in the congregation and we proskuno and shoka. We are in submission and then we come to, well, now what should, I've just listed a bunch of stuff I found in Scripture that worship ought to include. Psalm 28:2 says, lifted hands, hands that are lifted in praise. Psalm 150 says, instruments, instruments, all kinds of instruments. In Psalm 38 says, bowing, bowing, bowing in repentance. Proverbs 3:9 says that congregational worship includes giving, giving, that you give an offering unto the Lord. Psalm 96, we just read it, verses 1 and 2, singing new songs, that we lift praise unto the Lord. Some of you never sing in church. Never do you sing. And you say with some other folks that I know, they say, well, preacher, I just don't have a good voice. Friend, it's not about having a good voice. It's about having a heart that loves God. Now, we're not going to give you a microphone if you don't have a good voice. And we're not going to put you on the praise team. But everybody ought to sing. Everybody. You say, well, I don't know the songs. Well, learn them. We do them over and over. All right, all the men stand up. All the men. This little light of mine, this little light of mine. Now, is anybody around you not singing? Any men that wasn't singing? Point at them right now. Point if they wasn't singing. Up here? Okay. Amen. All right, one more time. Here we go. You were awful. But now hear me, men. You're not singing for our ears. When we sing congregationally, we're singing to the throne. And if he's redeemed you, he's put a song in your heart. So sing. 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 Amen. Yeah. Okay, sit down and look handsome. That's good. Psalm 66 says, shout with joy. What if this catches on? Hey, that'd be good, wouldn't it? The preacher's just preaching along and somebody says, glory! You say, well, they think I'm from somewhere else. That's all right. Shout with joy. It's all through the Word of God. Amen. Yes. Why, I preached down there at Zion Hope the other morning. 8:00 at Zion Hope, Primitive Baptist Church, pastor's 30th anniversary. My tongue is this long when I got done. They like to kill me down there. Now, the best part, Barbara, is when I'd get to a good point down there at Zion Hope, the organist stayed on the bench. Oh, and I'd get on something good, and they go, dum, dum, dum. Man, I like that. Yeah. They make me want to run. shout with joy. If you get out of control, I'll call you down. They say, "Oh, preacher, they're going to get out on a limb." Don't worry. I'm just praying somebody get up a tree. I ain't worried about them getting out on a limb. Yeah. Reading and proclaiming Scripture, Psalm 119. That you read the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God. Teach it. Believe it. Psalm 28:2, that you pray when you come together, that you pray. We talk a whole lot more about prayer than we pray. Yeah. You know, there's a lot in Scripture about hands. Hands. Alan, can you run this clock back a little bit? I'm not going to get there if you don't, all right? Yeah, just run that back. Oh, we're not bad. There are no clocks in Psalms. Amen. Hands. There's a whole lot about clapping your hands in the Bible. Matter of fact, it says if we want, the trees will do it. The trees will clap their hands. There's a whole lot about lifting holy hands. There ain't nothing about shaking hands. They didn't shake hands. They kissed each other. How you doing, Randy? That's what you're doing. Matter, you go to Central Asia, they'll kiss you all over. I'll never forget the first time I went to Kazakhstan. That big old burly prick, a big beard. That man grabbed me. Sonny hugged me up. Kissed me all slobbered up on this side and turned me over and kissed me over here. And he kind of held me back. You know, it's kind of, I didn't know, but what he's saying is, well, it's your turn. You know, Trailer's my name. It's amazing that now listen to me. There's a lot of principles in Scripture, and the principle there is affection and greeting. Culture has a lot to do with our outward worship. See, when I went down to Zion Hope, they have a culture that's different. I've never had the organist play while I'm preaching here, and they do it every Sunday. Now, it's a cultural input into the service. We have a culture that inputs here. Other churches in different parts of the world have culture. If you go to Ethiopia, I guarantee they're going to dance all over creation. Is the way they do it. I don't remember when we've had dancing in church here. Maybe an special event, you know, of some kind. See Taylor up there this morning. She's done things here, leading in our dance ministry. We've done that. But I'm talking about they just do it every Sunday. There's a cultural deal. And everything needs to be decently and in order. But the thing it doesn't need to be is dead. Dead. See, it begins individually with you, and then we come together and we grow with each other. Let me give you three hindrances, and then we're going to practice. There are three hindrances to worship. Number one is intellectualism. That's where worship is all mental, and your senses are never engaged. Just intellectual. It's just all in your mind. And it's good. We got to think. But there's more to you than your mind. Amen? There's emotion that's in there. I quit counting the number of people. I stood down here at this door today. I move around. People come in. Ready for football? Ready for football? Ready for football? You ready for football? Well, you ain't got to ask me that. No, I was ready in February. I was sitting on G looking for O. I mean, that's, you know, hey, let's do it. I always just think, man, what if I'm standing under one somewhere and I had 15 people walking? You ready to worship? You ready to worship? You ready to worship? You ready to worship? See, football's a great game. It just makes a sorry God. That's where you shout for joy right there. Amen. You see, if it's when we come in here, we change. And if it's just all in your head, you've missed part of it. Intellectualism is a hindrance. Secondly, is isolationism. That is, it's you're all by yourself. Don't touch me. Don't bother me. You're like Elijah. Lord God, I'm the only one. He didn't know there's 3,000 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. You're not by yourself. And then thirdly, there's institutionalism. We've always done it just like that. We're not going to change anything. We're not going to move nothing. We've been doing it that way for 100 years before you got here, preacher, and we'll do it 100 years like that after you're dead and gone. You institutionalize the church. You know, when you go through Scripture, God's got a word. It's called surprise. He got those children of Israel down there to see, and they didn't go to the right, to the left, and look around. Pharaoh said, man, I got them. And God said, surprise. Got over and they threw those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar heated up 7 times hotter than ever been, and he went to open the door, and God said, surprise! They threw old Daniel in there, said the lions will eat him up. When they looked over in there, the Lion of Judah was in there with him and said, surprise! They killed him and put him in the grave. 3 days later, Mary and them went down there and the rock was gone and they looked in and the angel said, surprise. I'm telling you, just every now and then, Olive ought to gather up, and when God moves in here, just every now and again, God's going to say to us, surprise. I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago, I gave the invitation. God said to me, surprise. 39 people came. Half of them got saved. God came and said, surprise. I'm just telling you, when God shows up, friend, it's all about your heart. It's all about your heart. You got to trust people you go to church with. You got to find where you are. I had a person in this church one time. They told me. I'm just telling you, in Jesus' name, they told me. They said, preach to these people, they're aggravating me in church. And I said, why? They said, they're not our kind. I said, well, just what kind are you? Now, people of all different walks of life come in here. And some of them come and God says through them to you, surprise, I saved him. He's not like you. Surprise. You got to spend eternity with him in heaven. Surprise. You better be happy here. You're not going to be happy there. All right, now I'm not near done, but I'm getting close. So take your Bible and go to Psalm 96. Nobody leave this building. Nobody. Shut the doors. John, lock the doors. Psalm 96. All right, when you find Psalm 96, stand up. Psalm 96. Anytime you're leading a meeting like this and you're going to want people to stand, don't tell them to stand to their feet. That's redundant, all right? Just tell them to stand. Unless you want them to stand on their head. Psalm 96 is one of the great. I've been reading this to you all morning. Psalm 96. I'm going to do a quick exposition here and then we're going to sing unto the Lord. We're not done yet, okay? Stay with me. I know we're going overtime. Surprise! All right, here's what the psalmist says. This is a song, a psalm of worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. And friend, we ought to be singing and proclaiming and saying, God is good, God is good. Every day, sing, 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 sing. And proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. Proclaim good tidings. That's good news. Tell of his glory among the nations. We ought to go to every nation. Everybody needs it. Red and yellow, black and white. North, south, east, and west. Every nation. Tell of his wondrous deeds among all the peoples. Tell everybody. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. He's to be feared above every god. You don't trust or fear anybody like you do Jehovah. For all the gods of the peoples, they're idols. But the Lord, he made the heavens. You went out there this morning, it was cool. Did you see that moon come up last night? Was that not gorgeous? Did you know you didn't do that? But you know the one that did. And the one that made the moon came and died for you and saved you. He is indeed the creator. He made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Amen. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe, you read in the King James, it's give. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Give him glory. Give him strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. I already preached about that back at the offering time. Bring your offering. Verse 9. Worship the Lord in holy attire. What you wearing today? Are you in holy attire? You say, oh, I don't have on a tie. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Holy attire. What's that mean? Son, you're supposed to be dressed in his righteousness. Dressed in his glory. You can do that wearing jeans. I'm amazed at what people wear to church anymore. There's some Sundays I have a hard time preaching. Low-cut dress, high ride. I'm old, but I ain't blind. Now, when you show up here, do you show up to find God or for people to find you? Huh? I mean, it ain't about you. Come looking good, but Lord, give us a break, would you? Lord, I knew we was going to get in trouble right there. Tremble before him, all the earth. Friend, you ought not fear anybody but God. Amen. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Hallelujah, he's the Lord. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It ain't going to move. He'll judge the peoples with equity. Friend, we're going to all stand to judgment. I preached about that 2 or 3 weeks ago. We're going to stand in a judgment. Every believer at the bema seat and every lost man at the great white throne. He will judge with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Amen. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, all it contains. Let the field exult and all that's in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Amen. And Isaiah says they're going to clap their hands. Before the Lord, he's coming. For he's coming to judge the earth. All of that goes together. There's not a period at the end of verse 12. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he's coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Sing. We're not done yet. Sing. Sing this song, John. Sing. Now, sing. Let's practice. See, we just think, well, now it's come to the invitation. I'll get my coat and lay down. I'm not going forward. Hey, friend, we're not done if God's calling people to get saved. You're part of it. You ought to be praying and saying, God, move them. I have people, 2 or 3 folks close to me. They sit over here and they'll tell me after. I saw him over there, preacher. I prayed he'd come today. While they sing, they're praying. But now we're just worshiping right now, all right? Just worshiping the Lord. So let's sing. John, help us here, all right? Here we go. Listen to this. Jump in if you want to. Words there they are. Come, just sing if you know. Here we go. First place. Here's a great prayer right here. Start inside. Here it is. Here it is. Within. Nothing matters. Watch this. Don't gain anything. Gotta have him. Now sing it. Here we go. Tell him. Want to know you. Live our lives to show you all the love we want you. Seekers of our heart. Now, we're going to sing this one more time. And there's some people here today that wants to get saved or join Olive Baptist Church. And if that's you, and I'm going to be standing right over here, and while we sing, you just begin to move, come, and our people will be leaving. We got things to do. Tonight, 5:30, I'm preaching on when you go through the storm. You don't miss tonight. 5:30, we start face back. And we're going to worship him. Matter of fact, we may get on our face tonight when we go through a storm. Amen. Here's my challenge. Sometime this afternoon, find you a prayer closet. There's a movie out, they call it the War Room. Get on your face somewhere. Just by yourself. And you tell God how you want to know him. Cry out to him. Turn off the TV. Just get on your face somewhere in your prayer closet by yourself, out in the woods. Just get on your face. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want you to come see me, and we're going to go right out this room here to the Encourager's place. If you want to join Olive, it's a great day to join the church. Just come right over here, and we'll help you to get there. We're going to sing this song, and when we get down to that chorus, then you can begin to move and go to a small group, to go home, to lunch, whatever you're doing. But I want us just to sing this song one more time. And you need to respond to this invitation. You come. You come. I'm waiting for you right here. And I'll see you next time at a place called Olive. God love you. You come. You come. You come.